Alright. If you've got a Bible, open up to Joel. I might use this. I might get rid of this baby. Joel, right at the end of the Old Testament, a few books back, after Hosea, before Amos, so towards the back end of the middle of the Bible. So, I've got a few slides as well today. If you want to come up, do that awesome. So, in 1991, a year where not many or any, maybe, of you were born except for leaders, a movie with a fairly famous fella came out, Terminator 2, Judgment Day. Before his days as governor, I'm sure some of you have seen this film or the sequel, I think the latest one's called Terminator Genesis, and the plot of the movie goes something like this. A day is coming known as Judgment Day, or J-Day for all the hip kids out there, and this is the day where artificial intelligence, or fancy robots, become self-aware. The machines stop serving man and turn on them, starting a nuclear warfare in an attempt to wipe out the human race. But never fear, a few survive and lead a resistance against these artificial intelligence. Now stay with me, this is where it gets a bit weird. The machines are losing the battle, so they send back one of their own in time. His aim is to kill the leader of the resistance, John Connor, before he's even born. But the humans aren't to be outdone. In the first movie, they send a bloke back called Kyle to warn Sarah Connor about this robot who's trying to kill her unborn baby, that one. I'll read you a quote from the movie. Come up, Kyle. There was a nuclear war a few years from now. All this whole place, everything, it's gone. Just gone. There were survivors here, there. Nobody even knew who started it. It was the machine, Sarah. I don't understand. Defense networks, computers, new, powerful, hooked into everything, trusted to run it all. They say it got smart, a new order of intelligence. Then it saw all people as a threat, not just the ones on the other side. Decided our fate in a microsecond. Extermination. Well, this whole guy is sent back in time as a prophet to warn the human race through Sarah about the coming judgment. This happens again in the second movie. These guys are sent back as a warning. The robot sent back a new Terminator, the T-1000, to kill John Connor. And the humans send back a good robot of their own to protect him and warn him of the coming doom and judgment. They're sent back as a warning sign to tell them about the destruction and devastation that's going to happen in the future. And the book of Joel, in some ways, is just like that. A warning sign. A warning of the judgment day that is to come. See, Joel is part of a group of books in the Bible, in the Old Testament, known as the Minor Prophets. There's 12 of them. Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. And our main man, Joel, is the one that we're focusing on for Safari. Is perhaps one of the ones that we know the least about. From the book itself, we're not told much about who Joel is. We know who his dad is. If you have a look at verse 1, he's the son of Pethuel. And we know that this prophecy is from the Lord, all in capitals there in verse 1, which means Yahweh. And that's God's personal name. Character as revealed to Moses in Exodus. But not much more info is given about who this letter is to either. We can assume that it's from the book that it's to God's people and to the generations that are to come. Joel 1 verse 3, tell it to your children and let your children tell it to their children and their children to the next generation. And if you have a look in verse 2:18, then the Lord was jealous for his land and took pity on his people. And see, the lack of information is a little different from either minor prophet on both sides of Joel. Hosea before him and Amos after. And because we've got an Amos here and no Hosea, we'll look at Amos as an example. If you flick forward a few pages to Amos 1:1, the words of Amos, one of the shepherds of Tekoa, the vision he saw concerning Israel 2 years before the earthquake, when Uzziah was king and Judah and Jeroboam, son of Jehoash, was king of Israel. See, unlike Joel in Amos, we're told who he is, what he does, that he's a shepherd, who the letter's to, that it's to Israel, and when it was written. But from Joel we get little of that. But we're given what we need to know. We know it's from God and to his people. The word of the Lord that came to Joel, 1 verse 1, tell it to your children, and let your children tell it to their children and their children to the next generation. Verse 3. And if you've been following along in your booklets, but you haven't, because we don't have them, but today you'll know that the talk is on judgment. So you've kind of got a bit of an idea of what's to come. You may have guessed from today's title that this isn't going to be the funny talk. Judgment is coming. Are you ready? See, judgment is one of the big themes in this book that weaves its way in and out throughout the chapters. And yesterday, Luke took us throughout the Old Testament and gave us an insight into God's relationship with his people. See, again and again, the Old Testament, throughout it, we see his people being unfaithful to God, turning and worshipping other gods, having other idols, only to cry out to God again when they're in trouble. Again and again, God brings his people back, forgiving in nature, bringing them to him. Not because of anything that they've done, not because they are a loving people or a faithful people, because often they're not, but because they're his people. And he is sovereign and faithful to them despite of their actions. And that brings us to the start of Joel. See, God's people have once again wandered from his ways, and once again deserted him for other things. And in chapter 2, verse 1, we hear the warning of the day that is to come. Joel 2, verse 1, let all who live in the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is close at hand. The day of the Lord is coming, and it's darker and scarier than we can imagine. Have a look at verse 11 of chapter 2. The day of the Lord is great. It is dreadful. Who can endure it? See, just like Kyle and the Terminator after John and Sarah Connor, Joel is a prophet who gives warning to God's people about the judgment that's going to come. And what a scary, devastating, and dark day that judgment will be. The day of the Lord is great. It is dreadful. Who can endure it? Well, in February 2009, in what's come to be known as Black Saturday, a set of bushfires were ignited. I'll go back one. Nice. Bushfires were ignited and burned steadily across the state of Victoria in what will become known as one of the worst bushfire disasters in Australian history. In the few days leading up to the bushfires, the state struggled through 3 consecutive days of temperatures greater than 43 degrees, peaking at 46.6 degrees, the highest temperature ever recorded in Victoria. As many as 400 individual fires, some deliberately lit by people, raged across the state, fanned by hot northwesterly winds gumming at as fast as 100 km/h. The state of Victoria was on fire. And that's an aerial photo of all the different photos burning on that day. 450,000 hectares of land burnt, over 2,000 homes up in flames, 11,800 head of livestock died, 414 people were injured, and 173 people lost their lives. Throughout recorded world history, it's ranked as the 8th worst fire disaster ever. It's the worst in Australian history and most recent throughout the world. As the name Black Saturday suggests, it was a pretty dark, bleak, and scary day in Australian history. Maybe you can remember it, I know I do. Images of a whole state on fire, homes burnt, lives lost. I'll just read to you an account from one person who put through the photos. It had become so dark. Night was approaching, but the smoke pall also added to this. It was like being inside a cocoon of smoke with a maximum visibility range of about 30 metres, and the whole of this hemisphere in every direction was glowing cherry red. I had no idea of where the fire was coming from. It was all around me. It was everywhere. And there was a deafening roar which continued to increase in intensity. I was starting to suffer from smoke inhalation. It was becoming very difficult to breathe. The wind increased very substantially. It was so strong that when I tried to put up the ladder to get up on the roof and hose it down, the wind would blow it over. Red hot embers were swirling everywhere. It was like being sandblasted, but with burning embers. I had to shelter beside the barn post, flattening myself against the roller door at the front of the shed. It gave me about 20 centimetres of protection from the blasting embers. It wasn't much protection, but it was enough to save me from being severely burnt. The wind direction continually changed. It was like what I would imagine being inside a tornado. So I would run between the posts on each side of the door to gain shelter each time the direction of the blasting embers changed. Running between the sheds in the open was my greatest risk of exposure in a firestorm. I had to try and judge the time to do this, when the blasting embers and extreme heat subsided just a little. In and around each shed, I could get some protection from the radiating heat and ember blast, but in the open, I was very exposed. I misjudged the time to run between sheds a couple of times and was nearly overwhelmed by suffocating smoke and blasting high-velocity embers and superheated air. It brought me to my knees. I distinctly remember thinking on two occasions that I was going to die. And there are hundreds of stories just like this, some worse, some more terrifying. But by comparison, this is just merely a glimpse, not even of God's judgment on his people. We get a picture, a bit of a hint of the judgment that's coming. Let's have a look at chapter 2. Verses 2. A day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and blackness. Like dawn spreading across the mountains, a large and mighty army comes, such as never was in ancient times, nor ever will be in ages to come. Before them fire devours, behind them the flame blazes. Before them the land is like the Garden of Eden, behind them a desert wasteland. Nothing escapes them. There's a few more photos if we go through. And some of them, yeah, these here are some before and after shots of this Black Saturday bushfire. There should be one more. You see, like it says in Joel 2 verse 3, God's judgment is like fire. It's all-consuming. A day of darkness, a day of clouds and blackness. Before them, the land is like the Garden of Eden. Behind them, a desert waste. Nothing escapes them. It charges through his people like a plague of locusts through a field, devouring everything they see. Like horses galloping, like an army charging ahead, like fire burning, everything in its way. Verses 4 and 5, they have the appearance of horses. They gallop along like cavalry. With a noise like that of chariots, they leap over the mountaintops, like a crackling fire consuming stubble, like a mighty army drawn up for battle. And just like those bushfires,
like a mighty army.
This judgment, the day of the Lord, is truly frightening. It makes strong men tremble. Verses 6. At the sight of them, nations are in anguish. Every face turns pale. And at the head of this army is the Lord God, Yahweh. In his seemingly unrelenting and unstoppable judgment of his people. Verse 11. The Lord thunders at the head of his army. His forces are beyond number, and mighty is the army that obeys his command. It is as real as the Black Saturday bushfires, yet darker and scarier than anything you can imagine. Joel comes with a warning for God's people. The day of the Lord is great. It is dreadful. Who can endure it? But maybe the scariest part of all is that this warning from Joel is not only to God's people in the Old Testament, but this warning is for us as well. Flick over to chapter 3, verse 12. Let the nations be roused. Let them advance into the valley of Jehoshaphat. For there I will sit to judge all the nations on every side. See, just like God's people in the Old Testament, we've also wandered away from him. All people have turned their back on God. See, Romans 3, 11 and 12 paints the picture. There is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. The warning of judgment in Joel is as much for us now as it was for his people back then. We too, like Israel, have turned away from God. We've decided to go our own way, live without God, put other things in his place. And the day of the Lord is coming when the world will be judged for that. Romans 1:18 says, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. And in verse 21, for although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. The Bible says that the day of the Lord is coming. And what a terrifying day it will be. Judgment is coming. Are you ready for it? But maybe there is an escape for some. Maybe this judgment is not as all-consuming as we thought. Maybe there is survival for some, just like those who survived the Black Saturday bushfires. Maybe through repentance there is salvation. Joel 2:13. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love, and he relents from sending calamity. But we'll look at that a little bit more tomorrow, because today we hear a warning from a prophet. Just like Kyle in Terminator 2, Kyle and the Terminator are sent back in time to warn John Connor of the future destruction of man. And in the same way, Joel comes to us today with a warning of what is to come. The future judgment from God on the day of the Lord. Today, Joel's warning is simple. Let all who live in the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is close at hand. The day of the Lord is great. It is dreadful. Who can it endure? Judgment is coming. Are you ready? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your judgment, your warning from Joel of judgment. We thank you that you are gracious and compassionate, and we trust in that. We confess that we put things in your place. Time and time again, just like Israel. We pray that you'll help us to be mindful of those things and trust in you and your saving grace. In Jesus' name we pray.